lesson on my song, just a little bit more on this. I want to go to the back of the bulletin this morning. And this is kind of in line with what Elder Scudder was going about talking about on yesterday. The things that prevent the song from being sung, the barriers, they prevent the song from being sung and also that song from being heard. Anything the devil will try to do as you see there, he wants to cause amnesia inside of you. Amnesia is, as you see there, it says, refers to the loss of memories, such as facts, information, as well as experiences. The devil just wants you to forget about what the Lord has done for you. I love to hear the saints talk about that. Say, Jesus did this for me. Jesus did that for me. I can remember where I was and how the Lord brought me out. And it wasn't nobody but Jesus that brought me out. Those are your memories. Those are your memories. And everybody has their own. You know, you don't have my memories. And I don't have yours. You got your own. And it's up to you to do what? Remember. It's up to you to not let the devil cause amnesia to sit inside your mind. All right? And nobody but the devil does that. I'm not talking about the amnesia that happens to you physically. You know, when people have physical amnesia, that's like a disease, you know, that happens in the mind, where the mind loses its ability to remember certain things or certain events. Well, Satan knows. Satan has seen what this disease does to people. It hurts families. And nothing more hurtful than coming up to somebody that you love and have known all of your life, and you looking at them, talking to them, and they don't even know who you are. Ain't nothing more hurtful to have to go through that. And I pray the Lord don't allow any of us to have to deal with that. But that's just what go along with sin. That's the thing that go along with sin. Sin is all about causing hurt and grief in people. Spiritually, though, the enemy used that same kind of disease to mess up our minds spiritually. He wants us to forget what Jesus did for us. You be so focused on your problem or your current situation, the thing that you're dealing with right now. As Elder Scudder said on yesterday, you just miss the big picture. You won't see what the Lord is. Why did the Lord bring you out of that sin? He didn't bring you out of sin for necessarily your life to be so perfect now. He brought you out of sin so that you could have a future when you leave here. Right. He brought you out of sin so that you could escape hell's fire. The judgment for sin. Judgment for sin is what? Death. The wage of sin is what? Death. Jesus came to save us from sin. Sin's habit, sin's dominion, sin's penalty. And this is why we emphasize the new birth so much. People say, all y'all do is talk about the new birth. Well, Jesus said if you don't get born again, you can't go back with him. So what else is more important than being born again? Born of both what? Water and spirit. Someone was asking me that this week. He said, well, is it important? He said, well, a brother was telling him that he got the name when he received the Holy Ghost. He got the name of Jesus when he received the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, I said, all what people say is fine and good. People are entitled to their opinions. But what did Jesus say? Jesus told Nicodemus emphatically that except a man be born of both what? Water and spirit. That's two keys. Unless you've been born of both water and spirit, you cannot. I don't care who they are, what they mean to you. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this is why it is important for us that know the importance of the new birth. that have experienced it to share that with the people. Else they'll go on thinking they're going to get something that they're not going to get. People, a lot of people are going, as I say, you go to funeral after funeral over and over again. Everybody goes back with Jesus. And it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. Why does the scripture say hell is enlarging herself if nobody's going there? If nobody's going there, why does the scripture say that there's only going to be a few that found eternal life? You can go to funerals all day long, all week, and you will not hear anyone say, unfortunately, this person has been separated from Jesus. Unfortunately, this person right now, while we speak, is in hell's fire, in constant conscious suffering. You're not going to hear nothing like that because people will get upset with you. Family will tell you, we didn't give you all this money for you to sit up here and depress us. You're supposed to be making us happy. But the reality is, if that soul could speak, what would that soul say? The rich man, his soul said, my soul is being tormented in this flame. And he said, go, I want someone to go and tell my family to do not follow behind me, right? That's the truth, saints. And you got to realize that you don't want the devil to steal your memories, to steal your mind. That you have right now. You say, well, Elder Scudder, I'm so thankful that Jesus gave me a mind to be saved. You don't want the devil to take that away from you. You don't want the devil to slip in and ease that thought outside your mind. You ask yourself, why do people backslide? They backslide because they forget. They forgot what Jesus did for them. They so caught up on stuff that don't mean anything. Stuff that don't mean nothing about your soul. At the end of the day, you go ask them, why'd you leave the church? Because the church changed. Church ain't changed. Church been preaching the same thing since day one. Only one that changed was you. You're the one that changed. You forgot what Jesus did for you. And you started paying attention to stuff you shouldn't have been paying attention to. Well, ain't nobody in the church right. All of them fake. Well, you're missing the big picture. You're not there to judge and follow and look at people. You're there to get your soul right. At the end of the day, you're going to stand before Jesus by yourself, right? Every one of us must give an account to Jesus by ourselves for what we have done in this body, saint. So you come to church to get yourself right, not to get the group right. You come to get yourself right. You come to save. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. That sermon he preached, the tail end of that sermon, he said, save yourself. He didn't say, in other words, if your family don't have a mind to be saved, he's telling you, you be saved, right? Don't go to hell with the folk. You get yourself saved, right? That's the truth, saints. Sometimes mother, father, sister, brother, children are going to reject Jesus. Sometimes you may be the only one in your family that have a mind to be saved. But at the end of the day, get yourself saved. In other words, get yourself right with Jesus, because when you die, you're going to die by yourself. You're going to leave this earth by yourself. Those that have experienced death in their families this week, you have been something true and special has been revealed to you. It's something that most folk don't realize and see and understand. I don't care who these people are, they leave this earth by themselves and they leave you here, right? You stay right here. You keep on moving, but yet they stop. Right. And that should be a message to you, right? Yeah. In other words, do what? Save yourself. Right. Focus on getting your own self right. Because one day the Lord's going to call you just like he called them, right? And you're going to leave somebody else behind, right? That's something to think about, isn't it? Yeah. All right. You don't want the devil to get in your mind and make you forget Jesus. Right. You don't want him to make you forget holiness. You don't want him to make you realize that the Lord brought you into a clean way of living. Holiness is not a strict way. It's just a clean way of living. All you're doing is doing what is right. That's all. People say, well, you can't cut no corners. You got to do what's right. Sometimes doing what's right is hard work. Sometimes doing what's right causes you to sacrifice. Huh? Come on, saints. When you know you went to work today, you know I worked for somebody today. I went and took out somebody's trash. Or I cut somebody's lawn. And they slid something into my hand. Holiness says, I owe Jesus 10% of that. Holiness tells you to stop right there and say, I owe Jesus 10%. I need to find an envelope and put 10% in that envelope and say, that belongs to Jesus. Holiness don't tell you, just put it in the offering plate. That's not holiness. Holiness say, pay your tithes and your offering, right? This is right. Jesus said, when you don't do this, you are a God robber, right? That's the truth. That's the truth, saints. Lord, bless you to be able to work with your hands. Lord, say, honor me with the first fruit of all of thy increase. Huh? In other words, as the Lord bring it in, you finish cutting that grass, you using Jesus' breath to cut that grass. You using Jesus' strength to push that lawnmower. Huh? You're using Jesus' strength to walk up and down in the path. Huh? Cutting that grass. You're using Jesus' grace and mercy not to stop your heart while you're cutting that grass. You're using everything Jesus gave you for you to do that job and to get that money. I don't care how much it is. If it's $10, you owe Jesus $1. If it's $20, you owe Jesus $2. If it's $5, you owe Jesus 50 cents. Pay your tithes and your offering, right? That's the truth, saints. That's the truth. Now, you don't want to go around praising the Lord knowing you ain't paying no tithes. Huh? You don't want to be in here praising Jesus knowing you ain't paying no tithes. Huh? You done got the wrong spirit inside of you. Huh? What kind of spirit you got? You got a lying spirit inside of you. Why? Because all while you praising Jesus, Jesus looking at you, not what's coming out your mouth. He's looking at what's in your pocket that you did not give him. Huh? Lord said, you know I gave you the strength to do that job. And yet you won't give me what belonged to me. Lord said, all of it belongs to me, but that tenth is holy. Huh? That tenth is holy. It's special. It's sacred. And the Lord said, it belongs to me, right? That's the truth, saints. That's the truth. Now, the devil don't want you to do that. No. Devil don't want you to live that kind of holiness. No. Devil don't want you to live that kind of holiness where you don't talk about people. He wants you to be a part of the gossip. Right. Be a part of the foolishness. Be a part of the discord. Huh? But you got to stop that stuff right in its track. Folks come to you with a bunch of foolishness, saying this and saying that. You got to say, hold up. But that's not like Jesus. I know what they doing is not like Jesus. But if I participate in it, I ain't no different than they are. I'm just as guilty as they are. Somebody's got to stop the cycle. Huh? Somebody's got to put the brakes on the wheel. Huh? This one's saying this one did this. This one, somebody got to say, oh, well, this ain't like Jesus. Huh? Because it's causing division. Huh? It's causing discord. And that's not the spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord want us to get along. Huh? Spirit of the Lord want us to be at fellowship one with another. Huh? Lord told you to love. Love those that hatefully. Go on. Go on over to Matthew chapter number 5. And let's see what the Bible's constitution is. Let's see what holiness look like. And I know a lot of people don't agree with it, but this is what Jesus said. Jesus said that blessed is the man throughout that whole little passage there. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 1.
Verse number 1 reads, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain.
Jesus would teach a lesson like this, wouldn't he? He see the multitudes meaning a whole lot of people. It would take the Lord himself to teach a lesson like this and get it off. Because most people would look like this and say, oh, I don't want to see this in front of this group. Because I already know they ain't doing it. Half of them ain't even doing this. Half of them ain't even doing the first one. So the Lord said, only I could teach a lesson like this. Jesus looking at the multitudes. What did he say?
And
And he went up into a mountain.
Yes.
And when he was set, his disciples came unto him.
Now that got to be a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Anytime you got to go up into a mountain to talk to the people. Huh? That's got to be a whole lot of people. It ain't like what you see in here tonight, today. You know, this little bit of few. I can talk to you all right in my seat, you know, right in this little place. But if there was a multitude, they'd be all out in the dining hall, all in the hallways, all on the outside of the church. That's a multitude. You say, Elder Scudder, they can't hear you sitting in here. You're going to have to go up on top of the building and talk. Huh? Because you got to be up high so your voice can go down, right? And then you can reach all these people that's out here. That's what Jesus is basically doing. He went up a little bit higher so he can reach, his voice can be heard amongst all the people that were out there. Keep going a little bit further.
The disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth.
Yes.
And taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Ain't that the truth? That blessed are those that are poor in their spirit. And that means needy. In other words, not you don't have that kind of spirit that you got everything, that you content. In other words, when I'm talking about content, I'm talking about being complacent. In other words, you don't want to be like that spiritually. I don't want to be complacent spiritually. I want to constantly stay before Jesus and let him know that I need him. Right. That's what you're doing when you get down on your knees. You're letting the Lord know you need Jesus. Right. You're crying out to Jesus. You're crying out to Jesus saying, Lord, I need you.
Yes.
Regardless of what I'm able to do, you say, well, it's because I had a good day today. But you don't want to let that good day say it in your mind that you don't need Jesus.
Right.
Now, you need the Lord.
Right.
I don't care what's going on right in your life, you still need Jesus.
Right.
You need Jesus every second of your life.
Right.
You got to realize without Jesus, you can't do nothing.
Right.
Ain't nothing going to work for you if you don't have know Jesus. If you want, people say, well, how all these folk out here got all this stuff and they ain't even thinking about no Jesus. Don't you forget, don't let amnesia sit in your mind. What profit is it for you to gain this stuff and then lose your own soul? What profit is it for me to have all of these earthly riches and then lose my soul? As I said to those that dealt with death this week, you learned a valuable lesson. Everything that you acquire on this earth for all of those years, you leave every bit of it here. You don't take none of it with you.
Right.
I don't care what you got. I don't care what's in your closet. I don't care what's in your bank account. You take none of that with you. Huh? You leave it all here. And look what people do after it's gone. Huh?
Yeah.
Look at what they do. They fight, they argue about what they gonna get, and they didn't pay for none of it.
Yeah.
They didn't pay for none of it. It wasn't purchased with them in mind. Huh? Yeah. You don't go buy your dress and your stuff like that and say, this show look good on me, but I'm buying it for the intention of leaving it to my daughter. You know, you don't do nothing like that. You be thinking when you go in the store, this dress look good on me.
Right.
You know, this fit me. You don't even think about nobody else. Why? Because you the one worked for it. You don't go buy a pie or a chicken and be like this. Well, this chicken and this pie, it sure look good. But I, you know, after I taste a little bit, I'm sure know my son and my children are going to love this pie, this chicken. Not if you living by yourself.
Right.
The first thing you think in your mind is you buying the food that you want to eat.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
And then when somebody say, well, I ain't, you know, what you got to eat? You think about that thing quick. You say, well, hold up, let me think about what I got to eat. Because, you know, if I got a chicken leg left, and if I get in my chicken leg, I ain't going to have nothing else to eat. So you say, well, I ain't really got much of nothing. You know? Huh? What you mean you ain't got nothing to eat in the chicken? You ain't got nothing in there to feed? Well, like, I got something in there to eat, but it's for me. It's enough for me. I ain't saying that I ain't trying to help you, but I'm trying to let you know that chicken leg, it belongs to me. Huh? You know, I didn't buy it, nor did I have it with you in my mind. When I bought it, I was thinking about my belly, what I was going to eat, right? That's true. It ain't nothing like you get some juice. You know, it's the juice that you like. And you say, well, I ain't got nothing. What you got in the refrigerator? Got some juice? Somebody go to the refrigerator, look, say, oh, how you drink that juice? First of all, don't talk to me like that.
Right.
I drink that juice because that's the juice I like. You know, that's the way I want to drink it. My wife will tell you I like unsweet tea. Unsweet, when I make my tea, I don't put no sugar, no honey, no nothing in it. I just drink it the way that it was brewed. And she looked and she said, oh, this stuff nasty. They say all day long, this is nasty. This is nasty. She said, no, well, she just don't touch it. She said, I don't want none of it because it ain't for me. And at the end of the day, it's my tea. If you want it sweet, you make your own tea, right? But this is mine, right? It's for me, right? In other words, when I brewed it, I did not have you in my mind. I had me in my... When I go to the store and pick up a bottle of unsweetened tea, I'm not thinking about nobody else. Why? Because I know that's what I like to drink. Now, if I go buy Sour Patch Kids, now obviously I got one person in my mind because I know my daughter loves Sour Patch Kids. Therefore, when I buy them, I sit there and I eat, and she see me eating, and I know she wants some of my Sour Patch Kids. She know that this is what she likes. And I say, would you like? Sure. I like some of my Sour Patch Kids, but it ain't for my son. Son don't eat that kind of stuff. He don't want to be bothered with that. In other words, when I bought it, I was thinking about me.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Everybody in your family, when they buy that stuff, they thinking about them, right?
Right.
They're not thinking about you.
Right.
But the reality is, when you leave here,
yeah.
Everybody want to fuss
right.
and argue about stuff
yeah.
that don't belong to them.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
They get amnesia.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
They start setting it in their mind. No. That wasn't for you. It's the truth. And when my mom, she told my grandmother, she said, man, mom, you got all this money. You need to spend all of this up. Oh, no. No, you need to spend all this up. Because when you pass away, that's when people start looking for what's theirs. And at the end of the day, what happened? None of them worked for it.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
None of them worked for it. It was yours. And if it's yours, who need to spend it? You. Does that make sense? If it's yours, you need to spend it. You need to spend it because it's going to divide people that do not need to be divided, right? We got enough to deal with our own personal sin. Huh? That's the truth. Does that make sense? That makes sense to me. Come on, where will we be at? So blessed are the poor in spirit.
But
keep going.
Is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. Keep going.
Blessed are they that mourn.
Uh-huh.
For they shall be comforted.
Yes.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Uh-huh.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness.
And this is what we're trying to get across to you that are trying to receive the Holy Ghost, right? You got to do what? You got to hunger. And you got to thirst after righteousness. Huh? Chapter number 6 and verse number 33 tells you, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 5 tells you to hunger and to thirst after. So Matthew 5 is trying to tell you how to seek after righteousness. Matthew 5 tells you to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be what? I don't care what it is, the Lord will bring it to you. But you got to prioritize your life, right? You got to prioritize your life. You got to say within yourself, Jesus is more important than anything else. And I've got to do what? Hunger and thirst after Jesus. Jesus is righteousness. I've got to hunger and thirst after Jesus. If I do that, I will be filled, right? Huh? And that devil's trying to put stuff in your mind that you're not content. And you're not happy, that means you got to do some more hungry. You got to do some more thirsting after Jesus. Huh? You don't want to try to be filled with this stuff. You need to let Jesus satisfy you, right? Hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. And you, what is the promise is? Come on, saints. Come on, I'm looking for some hungry and thirsty saints. Huh? Hungry and thirsty saints. Huh? You don't want to get hungry and thirsty for stuff, because it's not going to fill you. Huh? What are you going to do with the stuff? You're going to leave it here. Huh? You're going to leave every bit of it here. Huh? You can't take none of it with you. But if you hunger and thirst after Jesus, Jesus will be with you. He will be inside your soul, right?
Huh?
I'd rather leave this earth with Jesus than $1 million.
Yeah.
A $1 billion.
Right.
$1 trillion. Because
right.
I can't take that money with me.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
But I sure can take Jesus with me.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
I sure can take Jesus with me, right?
Right.
So don't let the devil take away your hunger.
Right.
See, you ask yourself, Elder Scudder, why is the devil trying to give me amnesia? Because he don't want you to be hungry and thirsty after Jesus. Because he knows when you are hungry and thirsty after Jesus, Jesus will fill you. When you hungry and thirsty after food, food is just a temporary filling. Just as fast as it come in, it's going to go out. But if you get Jesus inside of you, if I get hungry and thirsty after Jesus, he will fill me, right? He'll fill my soul. That's how you know when you're really hungry and thirsty after Jesus.
Yeah.
You get down on your knees.
Yeah.
You don't let nothing stop you.
Yeah.
You say, Elder Scudder, I'm tired. But I'm asking you, are you hungry?
Yeah.
Are you thirsty after Jesus?
Because
nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Not when you're hungry and you're thirsty after Jesus.
Right.
But Elder Scudder, you don't know the stuff that I'm going through. But are you hungry?
Jesus.
And are you thirsty after Jesus?
Right.
If you hunger and thirst after Jesus, he promised you something.
Wow.
Why would you go through life and never experience this promise?
Right.
This promise is if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled, right?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
You ain't got to be void.
No.
You don't have to be empty. You know how we talk about that when we talk about sinners. Sinners got that void inside of them. And they try to fill that void with a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff with Elder Scudder. How do they fill that void? They fill that void with stuff. Things that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. It broke people. Fill that void. When you ain't got no money, you try to fill that void with something. Say, let me find somebody to talk about. Huh? Let me find somebody to pick on. Huh? Maybe just going down the street picking with people. Laughing at them. And you look at them and say, what is your problem? What is wrong with your mind? Why don't you go on and mind your own business? They trying to let you know I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. Then you got to look at them and say, why don't you seek after Jesus then? If you seek after Jesus, you'll be filled, right? Huh? But you're trying to be filled and hungry and thirsty for everything but Jesus. You trying to be hungry and thirsty for what I know, what's going on in my life. And it ain't none of your business. What's going on in Elder Scudder life ain't none of your business. You so busy trying to, what you doing? What's going on? That ain't none of your business. Now please don't get that confused when I'm talking to you. Say, Elder Scudder, you trying to get in my business. No, I ain't. And my job is to watch for your soul. Sometimes I ask questions because I need to know a little bit more about what's going on inside of you so that I can give you what you need. Come on, saints, it's the truth. Now you can say, I ain't going to tell you nothing. That's your loss. Because when it's time for me to give you something for your soul, Elder Scudder, I need some help. Well, I don't know how to help you. Why don't you not help? Because you didn't tell me nothing, right? You so busy trying to keep everything top secret, right? Huh? And I can't help you. I can't help you when you're like that.
Jesus.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, I don't tell none of your business. I don't even tell your business to my wife. Most of the time, she don't show though. Most of the time, she don't find out nothing until I tell her in front of all of you.
Because
that ain't much, this is not about gossiping. This is not a talking point for us to see what we're going to do for your soul is at stake. Huh? Y'all understand that? And I'm very serious when it comes to the care of your soul. I don't play about that. I don't play about it now. I joke about a lot of things. But when it comes down to your soul, you see the face get real straight.
That's right.
It's true. I get real straight. Get real serious. praise. Yes. Some folks say you cutthroat. Now you cut. No. Because I'm trying to tell you, I'm worried about your soul.
Right.
You stop breathing today, your soul's going somewhere.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I don't want it to be on my watch.
Right.
Say, oh Lord, you didn't tell him. Yeah. Right. Elder Scudder, you told him.
Yes.
That's the
truth.
All right. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Don't let this promise go unfulfilled in your life, saints. Hunger and thirst after Jesus. All right? Next one. What is it?
Blessed are the merciful.
Uh-huh.
Shall obtain mercy.
That's the truth.
Blessed are the pure.
Now, I'm not telling you that people don't deserve some of the stuff that come their way. But it's not up to me to tell them. Huh? You know, somebody get their car dented up. It ain't for me to tell them, you know, well, you deserve that, to be honest. Because you had no business driving so fast nowhere down the street. If you obeyed them traffic signs like you were. Now, that fella the other week. Now, what if he didn't stop and roll on over into the cemetery?
Yeah.
Now, that would not be saintly like me to say that what that fella deserved. He want to be dead, let him go right on over into the cemetery. That's not very saintly, is it? I'm not showing a whole lot of mercy, am I? Huh? Now, I'm trying to tell you, the thought was there. I'm going to just be honest. The thought was there. But that's not being what? Very merciful. Some Jesus in me should have brought that thought under subjection. And said, show the brother some mercy, right? And when you go up to him, you say, he bent all up in the barbed wire fence or whatever kind of fence it is. Call the ambulance. Huh? Don't keep driving down the street. Call the ambulance. Say, somebody rolled through the stop sign and got themselves twisted all up into the fence. And I don't know whether they're dead or not,
right?
But they need some help,
right?
That's the truth. Be merciful to them. That's the truth, saints. Read a little bit more. That's the truth. Don't let nobody corrupt your heart. Corrupt your heart with a bunch of foolishness. That was Sister Mitchell was basically talking about, with the stuff that be on that social media. You're trying to keep your heart and mind pure. Don't you realize when you get yourself in certain social groups, social settings, you open up your mind to stuff that you may not be able to handle. Huh? I thank the Lord for wisdom. One time when we were having some issues in the church, and every now and then I would share stuff with my wife, say this, and she says, oh, sometimes it's not good for me to know all this stuff, because it messes up my mind. Huh? And I had to pull back. I had to stop sharing certain things with her. Huh? Because at the end of the day, I was called the pastor, not her. She got to be saved just like you. And the last thing she needed to be doing is sitting on her seat looking at you all sideways because of something Elder Scudder done shared with her, right? She got to keep her heart and her mind pure. That's the truth. Sometimes too much information is no good information. The least you know, the better off you will be, right? Sometimes you got to know when to cut it off. I told my wife that one time before. I said, stop it. Just stop all the communications because it's messing you up. You're a sweet person, but now the stuff is trying to make you miserable and bitter. And I want my wife sweet, right? I ain't trying to lay next to no bitter, miserable person. I need somebody to be sweet. I deal with that stuff all day long. The last place I want it is in my bed, in my home, right? Keep that stuff out of here, right? All that stuff, you'll be looking to have a good night's sleep. Good night's sleep. Can't even look over and say, oh, you look so pretty. Love you. Kiss you. Good night. Can't even do that because of all the misery. All the pain. Boom, 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 boom. You know, that's all them alerts coming up. Boom, boom. This one said that. This one said that. I'm like, oh, Jesus. You got to stop this. It's too much information. Too much news is going on, right? Need to know when to pull that thing back. I say, hold up, this stuff ain't got nothing to do with me. At the end of the day, none of this stuff got anything to do with me. It ain't paying my bills. It ain't keeping me healthy. It's just information. Information that's causing mental inflammation. It's making my mind on fire. You don't want nothing to catch your mind on fire. That's the truth. I need my mind to stay calm. Calm, clear, and collect. Huh? Needed to be real clear so I can see Jesus and hear Jesus. I don't need none of that foolishness in my mind. Now, folks got problems. I ain't telling you they ain't got no problem, but at the end of the day, it's their problem. It ain't got nothing to do with you. Now, if your name is involved in it, then you deal with the part that's relevant to you. They say, well, the Scudder, you said such and such and such. Well, let me clarify. Let me tell you what I said. This is what I said. Well, I don't agree. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Whether you agree with what I said or not, that ain't got nothing to do with me. That's your problem. But let me clarify the part that belonged to me. The part that belonged to you most of the time is real small. It ain't really that even. Some people's problem be this big. But the part that you in is just this small. Deal with your part. Deal with your part and get out of it. Get out of it real quick, right? Clarify. Elder Scudder, what Elder Scudder said this. Well, when you said that, I ain't got nothing to do with how you feel about what I say. I ain't got nothing to do with how you don't agree with what I say. I just want to make sure all hearts and minds are clear that this is what I say. Now, then once you hear that, everybody say, I understand what you say, Elder Scott. Then you get out of it. Don't even bother yourself in it no more. Well, Elder Scott, let me talk to you a little bit more. I ain't got nothing else to do with that. I don't have nothing else to do with that. That's that big old mess. Huh? And they're trying to pull you into it. It's real toxic again. It's deadly. How you know it's toxic and deadly? Because it's killing them. Yeah, I mean, it's killing them. Ain't no life inside of them. It ain't no life inside of them. They want you to be dead right along with them, right? And you be at peace. Enjoying Jesus. Just happy. Enjoying Jesus. And here they come with that mess. Yeah, Scotty, you said something. Hold up. This is what I said. Y'all, everybody hear me? Yes. This is what I said.
Right.
Okay. All right. And then get on out of it.
Yes.
Get on out of it. Go back to enjoying Jesus.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah. They'll deal with it. They'll deal with it.
Right.
Whoever else want to be involved in it, let them be all toxic and gray and mushy. All that other kind of stuff. Ain't got nothing to do with that.
Right.
Huh? It's the true saints. You ain't got to be involved in all that mess. Just pull the part out that's relevant to you.
Right.
Deal with it and move on. Right?
Right.
Come on, read a little bit more.
Yes. And it says, blessed are the
people. Yeah, hey, this is what I want y'all to see. This is what I want y'all to see. When you're dealing with a bunch of devilish people, don't let them devilish people mess you up.
Right.
Huh? You on a mission. What mission am I on? I'm a peacemaker. Huh? I'm not an author of confusion. That's Satan's kids. Satan's kids are authors of confusion. Their daddy is author of confusion, and therefore his kids are authors of confusion, right? They like mess. Huh? But you are a what? A peacemaker. Now, Jesus didn't say, be a peacemaker. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. In other words, you want a happy life, be a peacemaker, right? Blessed are the what? Peacemakers. That word blessed means happy, prosperous. Blessed are the what?
Peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Don't you want to be Jesus' children? Huh? What are the benefits of being Jesus' children? 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 1. 1 John 3 and 1. Somebody else get St. John chapter number 1 and 10. And I'm going to let y'all go. My time is just about done. We ain't having no service this evening. But, you know, I don't want to. Ain't but so much information you're going to be able to remember anyway. Huh? What did I say? 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 1.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed
upon us. We should be called. Who do you want to be? I want to be Jesus' children, saints. Huh? Don't let nobody mess you up. Don't let somebody that belongs to the devil drag you into his family. Huh? The devil is a liar. He's a murderer. He's a deceiver. All he is about a bunch of death. Huh? I don't belong to Satan. I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
Therefore, Jesus said, be a peacemaker.
Yes.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Right? That's the truth, saints. Don't let nobody drag you into the mess. Huh? No, you be peace. They say, well, I don't know if you... I had a co-worker tell me that the other day. He came and said, well, I want to ask you a question, Scudder. I said, what's wrong? He said, this. And I said, well... He said, I'm going to be honest with you. It's best for you not to even bother in that. He said, well, I'm with my girl, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I'm thinking about marriage. I said, well, what do you think about being married? He said, well... You know, I said, you ain't tired yet, is you? And he just looked, he said, start laughing. I said, yeah. So you need to leave marriage alone until you get tired of doing what you're doing. Huh? Yeah. I guess you're right. I said, yeah, because you don't want to mess up something that's so sacred. See, marriage is a commitment. Huh? You got to be committed. You can't be looking, touching, and going. Now, when you marry, the Lord told you, touch not the unclean thing. And just because it takes a shower don't mean it's clean. Do y'all understand that? Touch not the unclean thing, right? The elders kind of say, that's what the Lord said, right? So it's better for you to leave marriage alone. So you know you can be committed. Say, how many years you been? I said, well, been 21 years. Now we working, getting ready to go on 22 years. Come August, it'll be 22 years. He said, man. So I said, yep, been a long time. I said, but I'm enjoying it. He said, oh, yeah, I'm trying to get like that. I said, yeah, but don't you do it until you know you can be committed.
That's right.
Huh? Because if you're still talking about the struggles you have, it's not for you.
Right.
Don't bother with it. Huh? Because right. You got to remember, you got to be into this till death.
Yeah.
Huh? I don't care how death comes. Now, Sister Scudder, well, if that foot broke, turned into her being paralyzed, I still got to be with her.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Right.
Scripture say in sickness and in health.
Right.
Huh? For richer or for poorer.
Right.
For better or for the worse, right?
Right.
You got to be with them.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the truth. You got to be with them. Yeah. Don't. Elder Scudder, you teach. Nah, that ain't my word. That's the Lord's word.
Right.
Blame Jesus. If you don't have, you got a problem with the lesson, talk to the Lord.
Right.
That's what prayer is. Jesus, I'm having a problem with your lesson. And all the praying you do, you see the Lord ain't going to change his mind. You cry all day long. You can cry out till Jesus comes. It still ain't going to change his word, right? It's true. It is the truth, saints. It's true. Now, if they leave you, that's them. That's on them. Fella give you the writ of divorce. You remember, I didn't give it to you. You gave it to me. And just because some folk gave it without writing it out, their behavior said, I don't want to be with you no more. But it ain't on you. They did it themselves. You act like you got some sense, we can talk, right? That's the truth. Come on. Where was we at? No. 1 John 3:1. You want to be a child that belongs to Jesus. Let's see the benefit of being Jesus' children. Huh? Read, where would you stop up? First of all, you got to understand the world don't know you. Everybody understand that? The world don't know you. They know the old you. They don't know the new you. And it's up for you to remind them, that's not me no more. I don't do that kind of stuff no more. What's wrong with you? I've changed. I don't belong to Satan no more. Jesus has saved me from my sin, right? The life I now live, I live because of him that washed me from my sin. How? In his blood, right? How did you get in the blood? I went down in the water in the name of Jesus. I no longer belong to myself, right? Huh? You don't belong to yourself no more. You belong to Jesus. And it's up for you to tell him that. Huh? You no longer Satan's kids. I belong to Jesus now, right? Therefore, the world don't know you. Does everybody understand that? If the world know you, you not living right. If the world is comfortable with you, you not living right. Something about your lifestyle. thou shalt stop that sinner in their track and say, I can't talk like that around him no more. Huh?
Amen.
I laugh at him at my job. They get the giggly. And then I look back. I say, hey, what's going on? What's going on? Y'all all right? Oh, Scudder, you don't want none of this. Leading, I'm putting it. I move my seat on right back up. And they go, because they let me know they don't want me in that conversation. And I'm okay with that. I'm all right being severed from them. The minute you start getting attracted to that stuff that brings death, it's going to kill you. Remember, they already dead. They're dead in trespasses and in sin. And the minute you get attracted to that foolishness, it's going to end up doing what to you? Killing you. You're going to end up being just like they are. Acting like them, talking like them, thinking like them. Huh? It's the truth, saints. Read a little bit more, sister.
Because they knew him, though.
And it does not yet appear. I look like that same fella. They used to drink. They used to smoke. They used to fight. I still got the war wounds. Huh? You know, some of these scratches on my knuckles, they ain't happy scratches. Ain't scratches I'm proud of. You know, one of them was in somebody's mouth. I got somebody's tooth mark right on my knuckle. I ain't happy about none of that. Huh? I don't go around talking to y'all about it, but you know, I wasn't always living right. You say, well, Scott, you ain't, I don't know. It's just Scott, I'm a preacher. Don't mean I, you know. Amen. I did mine. Huh? I did mine. I did my fair share. But some of these little war wounds, you ain't happy about them.
No.
You know, you don't think about it. You be going around talking about, I'm going to knock you. Nah, because that ain't me.
Right.
That's who I used to be.
Yeah.
Huh? That's what scripture says. Although it does not yet appear what we were. Shall. Because every time I look at my hands, I'm seeing war marks.
Right.
Yeah. But one day the Lord going to bring me out of this body into a what? A glorified body, right? Some of you may have little marks on your body. Huh? That you say, well, Lord, I don't want nobody to see that. So, well, you covered all of that's how you know a saint backsliding. Because they ain't shame of them old war marks no more.
Right.
I'm talking about them tattoos and everything else.
Yeah.
You'd be having all on parts of your body you shouldn't even have.
Right.
Huh? When you get sanctified, you say, oh, no. Don't nobody need to see none of this. Scripture says you should be ashamed of those things. Huh?
Yes.
That's the truth thing. Isn't it true?
Yes.
You'd be ashamed of that stuff.
Yes.
You should be.
Right.
But every time the Lord lets you see it, you say, well, Lord Jesus, I'll be glad when I get out of this body. Because
yes.
I'm holy and I'm... See how the devil be trying to remind you?
Right.
Trying to put them little... See, that's why people should be careful with them old tattoos and stuff like that. Because it's like it's branding your body.
Right.
It's branding your body for life. So every now you go, especially if you put somebody's name on your body, oh, you let the devil fool you to put somebody's name on your body, and you ain't even with them no more. You get married, that man looking at you, he got to see you be all shame. What's wrong? You my wife now. You my husband. Show me yourself. Whose name is that? That ain't my name. I'm ashamed. Oh, what fools I was, right?
Yeah.
I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
But see how the devil set you up.
Right.
He set you up, say, you go, I'm going to let folk know you belong to me, right? That's what they used to do to the slaves.
Yeah.
They used to brand them.
Right.
So somebody went someplace else, they said, hold up, that's John's property.
Right.
He's trying to hide on your land, but that's John's property. How you know that's John's property? Look at him, he branded. Got John's symbol on him.
Yeah.
Send him back over there to John's plantation.
Right.
I mean, that's in slavery days.
Yeah, right.
Huh? And now look at what we fools have done.
Yes.
Huh?
Jesus.
Look at what we fools have done. Things people were trying to avoid doing. Now we're going to pay people to do them.
Yeah.
Go there and pay them and sit there crying, oh God!
Yeah.
Screaming. Man, just writing. foolish. Then you go to you do something normal, hug them. How you doing? Oh, don't touch my arm. Don't touch me. Oh, what's wrong with you? It's my arm is so-so. What is this sore from? Because I got a tattoo. Don't look like you should do nothing like that. You in that much pain. Huh? But this is what the foolish stuff we do. Then as I told you all, my famous thing, that you're going to get old.
Yeah.
And when you get old, your body changes.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Jesus.
Not as tight as it was.
Yeah.
So all of us that are young and it's tight, you may be prepared. Huh? Because it's going to loosen right on up.
Yes, yes, yes.
And all them little happy faces going to drip right on down. All them little images of muscles going to droop right on down. And who's going to have to deal with it? Say the tattoo had five hands up. By the time them drip going to be down to the fit. Hey, what in the world? Was that a horror picture? New some clothes? Nah. That's a high five. That ain't no high five no more. That done dripped on down. But these are the things we do. Although it does not yet appear what we shall be. We've got this hope. We've got this expectation that when Jesus shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. Why? For we shall see him how? Every man that hath this hope, what do? They purify themselves, even as he is pure. Right? St. John chapter number 1, verse number 10, and then I'm going to let you go.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him.
Yes, and the world knew him not. Came into his own, and his own did what? Yes, but as many. Power to become. So don't you realize that's what the devil is trying to prevent you from doing? When you're down there tarrying for the Holy Ghost, the devil don't want to let you go. He wants you to stay his child. But you got to say, no, I don't want to be your child no more, Satan. I want to belong to who? Jesus. Though it does not, wasn't that, that was the first John. It says, but now, first John, Saint John. Saint, you was reading Saint John, weren't you? Came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to what? To become the sons of God.
Even to them that believe on his name.
That's right. That's who we are, saints. We are striving to be the Lord's children because we do what? We believe on his name. We do everything in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name. That's what I was talking to Elder Scudder about yesterday when his missionaries were talking about they went out and that man was, he had shared with us. He shared with the saint. He shared with the righteous that he had been praying and it don't seem like his prayers are working. That is up to us to grab that soul and pray. Why? Because we are the righteous. Huh? The prayers of the righteous do what? It availeth much. When you are talking to somebody, anybody, and they share with you how they are struggling, how they are constantly praying and it don't seem like it's working, it's up for you to stop what you are doing and say, let me pray for you. Let's pray together that the Lord will give you the courage, the strength to fight past this stuff, right? Why? Because they're trying to let you know I'm struggling in my faith. My faith is weak. They need to know the prayer of that man. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my what? My unbelief, right? Unbelief is dominating me. And I need someone that believes to pray me through, right? That's the truth, saints. Some for your loved ones, some people in your family, in your neighborhood. They may have belief. But the unbelief is dominating them. And they just can't see past the unbelief. It is up to us that do what? Believe. Huh? To pray that prayer, right? This soul believes Jesus. Help now their what? Their unbelief, right? Let them realize there's nothing too hard for you, Jesus. This person is going around thinking that you can't deliver them from sin. Jesus, let them realize that there is nothing too hard for you, Jesus. By your power. You spoke this world into existence. You said, let there be light, and there was light, right? There's nothing too hard for Jesus, sir. Nothing too hard for Jesus. Lazarus was bound in grave clothes with a great stone in front of him. But when Jesus called Lazarus by his name, Lazarus came back to life. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. Huh? You're living around a bunch of people that think that the Lord can do it. And it is up to us to say, yes, Jesus can. It can get done, Jesus can do it. That's the truth. That's the truth. If it can get done, Jesus can do it, saints. All right? All right. Trust you all got something out of the word. Don't let though that amnesia set in your mind. As we said, we're going to deal a little bit more with this on next week because I want to get across those barriers so we can see what these barriers look like. Does it say tell you what the barriers are? Look at those barriers. Look at that list of barriers. Self is a barrier. Sin is a barrier. Indifference, meaning when you want to do what you want to do. We go on left and you say, I want to stay on the right. That's indifference. Disharmony. Huh? Y'all see, you all should see that, a lot of that in your family. You know, when the family say, well, let's come together. You always got that one member say, I ain't coming. You quiet because they're trying to cause what? Disharmony. Lord, we ain't got much long. We ain't got a lot of time here on the earth. You don't ever want to get so busy you can't come together at least and eat a piece of bread. Then they'd be the loudest ones at the funeral. Oh, oh, you don't understand. Well, where were you at when they were living? When you could sit down and talk with them. I was too busy. Well, you stay your busy self. Go right on out. Get out of the church. Right? Leave. Y'all put me out. No, ain't nobody put you out of nothing. When the person was living, you didn't want to spend no time with them. Now they dead, you want to be right involved with them. I'm in charge. What? Sit down. Ain't nowhere to be found when the person's living now. You want to have your hands all in the pot now. Pot digger. That's like you in that kitchen cooking all day long. Cooking. And the first one ain't put nothing on the table. Where my plate at? What do you mean where your plate at? You ain't fixed nothing. Ain't bought nothing, ain't fixed nothing. All in it. All in it. Ain't clean nair green, ain't cut up nothing. But yet you want the first spoon come out the pot. You a liar.
Yes, you are.
Devil got a hold of your mind. First one to eat it should be the one that cooked it.
Right.
See, we got that thing all backwards. Got that thing backwards. First one that should be eating is the one that cooked. And when they finish cooking, they should be able to sit right down and say, now all y'all bring me my stuff. Why? Because I worked hard at it, right? And if you want to eat any of it, you got to take care of me first. We got that thing backwards. One cook it, be the one serving. Like, ain't no more greens though. You all ate them all up. See, person cooking ain't even got a house. Can't even eat none of the greens they cook. Now, ain't that backwards? That's backwards. It's up to you to set your houses in order. Say, no, from this day forward, we going to do things different. If I worked and I cooked and cleaned all this, I'm going to eat first.
That's right.
It'd be true, cause it'd be the truth though. You do all that stuff, you don't even know how your food tastes, cause everybody done ate it all up. Before you even get in, you be in there getting one little green out, but all that meat and all that juice ain't no green. Everybody else eating full, a plate full of greens. You ain't got no more but the little scraps in there. That's my, this is some good old juice. It would have been better if you had the greens go along with it. It would have been better if you had the greens go along with it. All right, I'm done. I ain't going to hold y'all up. Did I read? Is that all that list? Carnality. Carnality is the flesh. Worldly stuff, right? Is that all of it? World conformity. Being just like the world, okay? Be careful about that. Got script. Remind me, we're going to hit that next week because I want to go over that list next week. Because I want to start talking about these barriers things that cause amnesia. Things that cause amnesia will make you forget who you are as a saint. Okay? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin again.